Blog Talk Radio.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay. I'm coming home, baby.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
I'm coming home now real soon.
You've been gone.
Coming home, baby, now.
You don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue.
Since you went away.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm praying every night.
And everything is gonna be fine.
Come on.
Coming home, baby, now.
I want to feel you hold me tight.
Just to see me now anytime.
When I'm in your arms.
When you're in my arms, I'll be fine. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm counting every day.
I'm coming home now, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You come home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
And baby, let me hear you say.
I'm coming home, you hear and what I say.
That you're coming home.
And I never will go away. I'm coming home. Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting at the door.
They can't hold me back now, no more.
All alone.
I'm pressing on, baby, now.
And pacing up and down the floor.
Oh, hear me holler and hear me roar.
Will you be with me?
Gonna be with you evermore. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Oh, baby, say you're coming home.
That's what I say I'm coming home.
Nothing's wrong.
The road is long, baby, now.
It wasn't either right or wrong.
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you're.
Baby, I'm for sure coming home. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Come on home.
I'm coming home.
Hey, hey, ho.
Oh, Mel Torme. Ah, good for Mel. Good for Mel.
Yeah.
They like him.
Yeah.
They like him. welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show, www.thematthewaronshow.com. Matthew Aaron Show on iTunes. You could probably find us under the history section or something.
yeah, what genre are we marked under now?
I think we're history still. Okay. You know, all my African-American history I do on the show.
Uh-huh.
At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, if you could find me.
You're 1/8, actually.
I am one.
You're an octoroon.
Yeah. I am sitting here with my co-host.
Hey, Lee Capreas, hello.
First real show in Los Angeles.
That's right.
The City of Angels.
I'm not going to be standing on a street corner competing with a guy in a Santa Claus suit with no beard.
Well, the problem is we didn't give you a hot dog costume to compete with.
No.
That was my bad.
Do you ever come up with any ideas?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's just...
No, I was going to say, if he has a Santa Claus beard, though, we should have taken some chili sauce and spread it on your face, giving you like one of those big brown beards. Oh, that would look good.
Yeah.
That would look good. So, Lee... How was the move? I've always meant to ask you, and now I've had you on, so I could finally ask you.
Well, I couldn't bring everything from where I was living over here. So what happened is I had to load up my four-door sedan, my little car, just with everything I could fit in it. It was very Beverly Hillbilly style.
Yeah.
And the drive was a breeze, and my aunt actually came along with me, and that was a lot of fun. She's in her mid-60s, and she just, you know, bitches, and she smokes, and she's funny.
So you drove with me out here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you would get along great with her.
Yeah, no, we'd be
buddies. But I did have, Actually, I told you this by text. I did have an incident in Missouri where I was in an Oasis restroom. It was one of those ones that goes over the highway.
Sure.
And I go in there, and I can't, for some reason, because I've been driving, I can't find the button to start the forced air machine. And there's a guy, there's two, you know, they weren't, I don't want to stereotype people who live in small neighborhoods, because it just seems like the wrong thing to do. And, you know, I'm like, no, I can't find, and the guy pushes it, it's on the side, and he goes, I guess you ain't from around here. And I want to go, really? Did you just hit me with, I guess you ain't from around here?
Well, as people heard on
Good Old Boys.
Two episodes ago, we had a similar story when we came out. And
People
thought Steve Weirich was the bellhop. And people thought he was a freak. And people thought I was Don Ho.
They tossed him their keys and told him to watch the corners?
Yeah, and they thought I was Don Ho. And they go, who wears a Hawaiian shirt in Omaha? Or I know, where were we? Oklahoma City.
I thought, really? The Hawaiian
no
shirt?
Difference. Yeah.
So you made
and
the...
And sunglasses and the aviators.
You
so
made
they
the,
really thought.
Oh,
yeah.
You made the drive just sticking out like the biggest sore thumb you possibly could.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your diet, but before we get to that, I do want to talk about Coney Duck.
Yeah.
Because we did a show from there last week, and I've gotten to know Mike pretty well, Mike Finder. He's done a few things. And Mike has asked us, and we talked about it, and he wants to do the show from there from now on. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you're cool with it, Lee.
I am, yeah.
You're all right with it?
Yeah, I think it's a suitable home base.
Yeah, and, Kristen and Kimberly have been feeding me heart attacks there for about a few weeks.
Yeah, everyone's been great to us there.
Yeah.
If you've not been, Coney Island on Sunset, it's across from the Whiskey a Go-Go.
Yeah, you know what I like, though, about Coney Dog is you went there. And I told Mike this last night. And I said, Lee's brutal. He'll be brutally honest. He doesn't give a fuck what you've done, Mike. And we went for breakfast the other day, and Lee goes, now this is a real fucking breakfast.
Yeah.
And I told him that. I'm like, and trust me on this. He'd tell you if it's shit.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good. It was hearty.
Yeah.
You're full.
It was what
like
I needed.
12 hours.
Eggs, chopped vegetables. It's good.
I'm loving the breakfast menu over there, actually.
Yeah.
Everything's got egg in it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Just fine.
You got the Motown, which he does there now, with the it's two sausage patties and a turkey sausage and egg, and then there's some grilled onions, and oh, my God.
The thing is, what I like about that is that's almost at the ridiculous line.
Yeah.
There was a place.
I think all Mike's food's almost
at the ridiculous.
Line.
Did you ever go to the Diner Grill in Chicago, like Irving Park and
sure.
Ashland?
Yeah.
They had the Slinger.
With the Slinger.
Yeah.
They got
so,
the chili and the hash browns.
For the listeners, it's a bed of hash browns. On top of that is two eggs, then two hamburger patties with cheese,
with
and
cheese,
then chili all over
correct.
It.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. Now,
that's over the line. Mike doesn't have anything like that, and that's probably good.
Not yet. I'm pushing for it.
Then you become a freak show.
I'm pushing for over the line.
Maybe get Guy Fieri in there to do a special.
Yeah, I think he's trying. Well, I want to talk about that, too, because we were talking about cooking shows yesterday, and I thought it was a really interesting convo. But, yeah, I'm pushing for Mike to do some of that. Like, I'm you know, elbowing him to put some Polish sausage on that menu.
Yeah.
You can't get a Polish sausage out here.
No.
Know what else you can't get out here? A fucking good egg roll.
No, you can't.
It's all spring rolls.
Yeah.
And egg
spring
rolls
are fine,
are
but
spring rolls.
Yeah.
Like, they're fake egg rolls. They don't have those big fucking egg rolls from back home from those Cantonese joints, you know, those hole in the fucking wall.
Yeah, the ones they just give to you.
Yeah, yeah. And egg foo young.
Like, whatever, $5 purchase, just fuck it. Just take it.
Look, there needs to be more egg foo young, chop suey,
dim
and
sum.
Egg rolls out here, and dim sum, which you know I'm in love with.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's great about dim sum?
Mm-hmm.
You literally will spend like $7. You will think you ate nothing, but you will be completely full.
I might have asked you this. Well, where do you go in this town for Polish food? Being from Chicago, big fan
Mike
of it.
Gave me a good German restaurant to go to last night.
Okay.
If you like German sausages and stuff. Mm-hmm. Polish, I'm still working on.
Mm. Okay.
Polish, I'm still working at.
I see, the thing is, I have a theory. These things are here. You just have to find them.
I told Mike he needs to get the sausages from the Midwest, the Polish sausage from Michigan and from Chicago, back here.
What if it's too pricey?
I don't know. We'll find out. But I need him to bring that here. You get a big fucking French roll or something.
Uh-huh.
You get those grilled onions. you get some mustard. You're good to go.
Yeah.
You're in business.
Yeah.
And you can't get that out here. You can't. I don't know where.
You think those will move?
Well, they'll move into my stomach.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Think outside.
Yeah, oh, think outside of me.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Okay.
Hey, you know why I think they'll move? Like you and I just said, where can you get a fucking Polish out here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Pinks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense.
No, yeah, yeah. No, no offense, Pinks. I'm sure they're not sponsoring us anytime soon.
No.
No, I'm sure they don't need it. But, yeah. But you're not going to be eating Polishes for the next 6-7 days anyways.
No, I'm not. Let me go into
your master cleansing. Other than the other mastering you do.
No, I will explain also. Yesterday, Black Friday, which I thought was a good day to start, I started this master cleanse, which is I'm subsisting. I'm going to try for my goal is 8 days. My minimum is 5 days on water with cayenne pepper in it, lemon juice, and maple syrup.
I'm going to take the under on 8 days.
You're going to take the right. Bet the under. The line is 6.
I did this once. I used to be really healthy.
Yeah.
People that have known me a long time know I used to even have the flat stomach and I was a vegan, like hardcore, man.
Mm.
And this is before the drugs and the booze and what have you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to get healthy. Maybe it'll help me.
Yeah.
And I did a master cleanse once. I was so healthy at the time. And health food tastes like shit to begin with.
Yeah, it wasn't
that the cleanse didn't hit me as crappy. Now I saw you take a sip of that fucker yesterday.
Yeah, I
and you looked like you were drinking turpentine.
Keep in mind, I eat like a death row prisoner.
Yeah, your last meal.
So for me to go to that is very hard.
Every meal's
plus
your last
at the
meal.
End of the day, you drink water. It's got Epsom salts in it, and that gets all that stuff out of you. And then after it's over, I think you drink nothing but orange juice. I got orange juice for 2 days. And then you eat healthy. That's going to be the hard part is the eating healthy afterwards.
I like that you moved out to L.A. and just decided you're throwing in the Chicago towel right away.
Yeah, I am.
That was quick.
No, you know what? If there's a good chance when all this is over and I've shat out a few pounds, I'm going right to Fatburger.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not cheap to eat healthy.
No, it's not.
I was in great shape, you're spending like $60 a week on groceries for yourself.
Yeah,
it's rough. It's not easy.
Right.
You can't go to Carl's Jr. and get the salad even.
Yeah, but I was honestly like seriously a dozen. This has been day one yesterday. Today is day two. 12 times I'm going in there. I hate to be graphic. I hate to lower the show.
Well, come on. You're talking to a guy who asked you how it was every time you walk out.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's
once or twice.
I kind of want to know.
Yeah,
I kind of want to know.
No, it's curious.
One time I had a drug test, okay?
Mm.
And it was for my dad's work. And I filmed a movie. I filmed a short like a week before it. And it was a long night of filming. Went like 24 hours straight of filming. So I totally was out of my mindset. I'm worried about filming, acting, I'm directing, I'm starring, got this whole thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I smoked a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the next day, I'm like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I'm fucked. My dad's work.
Was it a hair test or a piss test?
Piss test.
Oh.
So.
Oh, well, that's.
So, you say, well, that's. Look, I didn't really know much, though, about how to beat these things. Mm-hmm. So I went out, and I got 2 liters of prune juice. And 2 liters of cranberry juice. And I shit and pissed clear for like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Clear.
It was,
like just water.
It was,
you could have drank it.
It was probably,
been fine.
It was like Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Brita.
Oh.
It was a Brita filter in
you
my
shine
head.
A light on it, you'd see a rainbow.
Yeah. So I totally know what you're going through when you go to the bathroom 12 times and you're like, what the fuck was that? It just came out.
Well, the whole thing is that it's not that. It's not that because I can hack that. I got ointments, whatever. But I'm angry. Like I'm going through withdrawal.
Yeah, no,
like
no,
I want to choke people.
Yeah.
It's like
you're
nobody
be very
told me
angry.
About this. It's like quitting smoking or something probably.
Maybe worse than smoking. When I quit smoking, I was pretty you didn't want to be around.
Yeah, you walk into a building eating a hamburger, no one's going to tell you you're going to be 500 feet from it. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So you can at least get away from the food.
Yeah.
It's hard to get away from the smoke because you drive and you see one person doing it and you're like, mother.
But
yeah,
I think the food for me is worse than any vice.
You love
and I
food.
I got some.
You're Greek.
Yeah.
You love food.
We like to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, you like to eat. And I'm just disappointed because you can't cook for me the next 6 days.
I'm going to be cooking once I get in there.
Well, yeah. Well, not I'm a wizard. That healthy shit.
No,
I
well, I got some things. I got some ways to make vegetables tasty.
No, I'm good with vegetables, but I mean, give me something then thick and unhealthy on the side.
Yeah. No, whatever I make, it might be healthy food, but it'll be there'll be a lot of butter involved, so we'll be all right.
Do I need to get a spittle here or something for your your gyro meat?
Yeah, maybe. For your gyros?
Yeah, your gyro.
And your tzatziki. Okay, and your tzatziki sauce?
Yeah, I say. So is it gyro, gyro, or gyro?
Gyro.
It is gyro.
Yeah, and it's tzatziki.
So why is everyone called gyro or gyro?
The same reason people call it nuclear, that people just don't know.
George Bush?
Yeah.
So George Bush called
George
it gyro meat?
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Hey, Barbara, make me one of them gyros, would you?
Gyros? I like to eat those things.
I love a gyro.
Bomb.
So, by the way, we have Louis Lombardi on today.
Yeah?
You may know him from 24, Entourage, Beer League.
Sopranos.
Sopranos. Yeah, the list
and
goes
lots
on.
Lots of movies.
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Usual Suspects.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's that guy where you hear his voice and you know who he is.
Right.
Like, it's not just seeing him, you know who he is. You hear his voice and you're like, oh, that fucking guy.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He was great on 24.
Mm.
I mean, just like, he took a role for me on that show. Because it's very hard to... It's very hard to compete with Kiefer on that show with the writing.
Yeah.
They really have a lot of secondary roles that are just stereotypes, you know?
Well, it's a very plot-driven show, obviously.
Yeah, and he really took something that I didn't think was going to be much and made it something. He did a really good job, I thought. Oh, you just took a sip of that shit,
ugh.
And now you look like you're going to throw up.
Every time I take a sip of it, I make a face like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing when he take the dropper out
right.
of the suitcase.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wish I had that suitcase sometimes.
Yeah. A salt shaker for it.
That's a different story.
Right, I know.
So what else is going
we'll
on?
We'll talk after the show.
Oh, cooking shows. So you and I are watching some, we don't get the BBC here, which
yeah.
is disappointing, but I'm not going to pay for cable just for the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stuck with Food Network. I don't even know if we get Travel Channel.
Well, there's Food Channel. They made a.
We don't even get Food Channel.
Oh.
And I think they're all owned by the same, aren't they? Travel Channel's owned by Food Network.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. So all we have is Food Network, right? And you and I are watching. They have some, like, Dinner Impossible marathon on.
Yeah.
And Dinner Impossible is that guy, Robert. Do you know his last name?
Irvine.
Robert Irvine. That's right. Robert Irvine. And we're sitting there the whole time just trashing that fucking show.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people have ever watched the BBC America, which, of course, isn't even as good as when you're actually overseas and watching BBC.
Right.
Which, by the way, you know, that sounds pretentious and shit, but anyone that knows me knows I'm not. It really is that great. When
yeah.
you go to Europe and watch BBC 1, 2, 3, 4, like, they have some really great programming.
It's like drinking Guinness in Ireland.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah. Great programming and... Guinness in Ireland's fantastic, too. Tastes like a meal.
Yeah.
Tastes like you're eating, but yes. So anyways, we're talking about how this show is just... Kitchen Nightmares in America is a ripoff of Kitchen Nightmares overseas, obviously.
Right.
Even though same host, same...
Yeah.
But this show is like the bastardized version
right.
of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares... on the BBC. Just ridiculous.
Well, the thing...
They took all the things that they think gives the other show ratings and heightened them. Like,
right.
Sometimes Gordon will yell at somebody. I don't know if he really yells. He's just constructive, right?
Right.
This guy's just a lunatic. He's running around in a shirt that he bought at the Baby Gap.
Right.
Muscles bulging out of everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, these chairs suck. They're the worst fucking chairs I ever seen. And, you know, he's just yelling about chairs. And it's like,
what accent was that? Were you Irish or English?
We were talking about Ireland, weren't we?
Yeah.
I don't do English. Yeah. I'm not Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
Calm down.
The Irish accent.
No, but what were you thinking of this show? Is this the first time you saw it to the Dinner Impossible?
I never saw it, and it basically looks like he did all the moves from the show, but not getting the feel of it.
Thank you.
The words, but not the music. The lyrics, but not the music.
Nick, is there a reason you're giving me other people's mail?
We could open it, but
it's not addressed to me. It's addressed to you.
It fucking derailed me. Oh, yeah.
Bieber's handing me mail.
No, he, yeah. It, well, the thing is, most of it is just him renovating the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, it should be on Home Life Network.
No money on it, too.
I know.
They're
give him 10 grand to fix a whole restaurant.
Yeah. They're like, here's 10 grand for this $900,000 restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me know how it goes.
The show should be hosted by Bob Vila or Richard Karn.
You have this girl who uses that 10 grand and redoes the restaurant.
Right.
And he's on her ass.
Right.
Like 24/7.
Well, dude, you gave me 10 grand.
You gave her two sticks to rub together. You want her to start a forest
She's
fire.
She's got to do the floors. She's got to get new tables, new chairs.
Oh, just brutal.
But, like, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I said this yesterday. I've always not been gravitated towards shows that show people under pressure at their job.
No,
and people love those shows because feel better about their own job where they have to eat it from their own boss.
I think Undercover Boss is the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Did huge ratings because people like seeing their bosses eat shit and then they look like kings for a day. People just want to enjoy.
Is it just me that I don't? Am I weird because I don't want to watch a show about a rich ass who yells at people and fires them?
No, I don't think it's just you.
Okay.
I don't think it's just you. I watch it only because there's nothing else on. And I tend to watch stuff I could bitch about. I don't like anything I can agree.
So you watch things to complain?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You would get along with my aunt.
Absolutely.
Very well.
You know what I wanted to bring up, though, was there's this other show that I think you'd love, and I hate it, and it's that Andrew Zimmerman show. What's it called? On the Travel Channel.
Not familiar with it.
Bizarre Foods.
Oh, he goes, where he goes to different,
Now, I would think that's right up your fucking alley.
Yeah.
I hate that fat fuck.
He's eating bugs and
stuff? I hate him.
You don't like
him? He's annoying.
Wow.
He's so pretentious.
Strong words.
Here's how it is. Here's how I feel about this guy. He's like you if I didn't like you. He's so pretentious that it's like, man, if Lee's riding the line, if he ever just stepped over,
oh.
And that's who he is. Just can't stand him. I guess that makes me your Guy Fieri.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
So what else is going on? Anything else?
Yeah.
Oh, job.
I wanted to tell you this, and it was an observation I made.
Yeah.
I am working now as a caddy at a golf course. It's been my summer job since I was 13 back home, and I was able to start at a local place. I'm not going to say where, but it's good. I will observe this, though, and I want your opinion on this. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pick up that blood.
Yeah.
The place is all men. It's all male members. So there's no women. And men act different when there are no women.
Yeah.
And
they're gayer.
Yeah, really. But it's like seeing sort of a microcosm of what society would be like if there were no women. And I have to say, all kidding aside, it looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Guys whip it out and they take a piss wherever they want to. On the fairway, it's not even like... Yeah, it's just
how'd
low
you feel
key.
About that
people
moment
are nice.
For you?
Yeah, that was weird because the guy we were walking by in the group on the hole next to us is just like 20 feet away. The guy's like waving it like, dude, this is some frat boy. This is a golf course.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a little gayer, like frat boy gay.
Yeah,
like
a golf course.
I don't know. I golf. So I've been around it, and it is pretty perverse. Men alone, that's why we need women.
Uh-huh.
We would be perverse savages.
No, you know what? I was thinking for a minute. I'm like, man, there's no shame.
None.
There's no remorse.
Oh, guys are
there's
pulling
no
out
self,
their fear guns.
There's no self consciousness.
Oh.
There's no alpha maling. You know
how like men
and then
try
I,
to
and
like.
And then I had a thought like. Oh, Jesus, there's no shame, there's no remorse. Like, the same thing.
Well, do you know how men try to, like, cover up how they're copping a feel at themselves?
Right.
Sometimes they're
right.
Fixing the underwear or whatever the deal is, moving a nut.
Nobody dresses in drag.
On the golf course, no one cares.
Nobody dresses in drag with the excitement and enthusiasm of a really straight guy.
Yeah, on the golf course, they just don't care. They just fucking...
No.
You'll see them move a testicle. They'll move the whole thing right in front of your face.
Right.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, hey, you
but
got
at the same time,
win at any cost because you got to screw up that guy's
win
putt.
Win at any cost.
Yeah.
Is there any gambling going on the courses?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But I got to say, no, it's like a really good place. Members are all super nice. I've been out 4 times. I had a great time every time. It's really good. It's a really good place.
Very good. I'm glad you got a job right away.
Yeah.
Come on out. Get
cash,
that job.
Cash in hand. Cash in hand.
Yeah, I like that. And then Bieber's got 2 interviews.
Yeah?
Yeah.
GameStop. Where
and
else?
Arclight.
Arclight.
So you may be hitting them up for the movie discounts.
At
the Googleplex.
Oh.
You know what's nice about the Arclight is they also show indie stuff, too.
Good.
It's a mix. They have a good mix.
I haven't gotten around to checking out the movie scene here.
Well, we saw The Descendants at one of the Arclights.
Yeah.
Didn't we? Was it an Arclight? It was an Arclight.
Any big difference in theaters out here?
Yeah, the Arclight is assigned seating.
Assigned.
The chairs are leather, very comfortable.
Wow.
Is
it just at the Arclight, or they do the same thing?
They come in and give you... No, just at the Arclight that I'm aware of. They come in and give you a speech before the film. Talk a little bit about the film.
I like
that.
And then
tell you to shut off your fucking cell phone.
Awesome.
Even though I keep mine
on. Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't get thrown out?
Oh, you know what? We got a phone call. Wait, should I take it?
Yeah.
Are we in the mood to take phone calls?
We take phone calls on this show.
In case it's...
Is it LL?
Lewis. Yeah, in case it's double L. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Double L. It's like James Bond.
Oh. Can we hear? Can we hear?
Can you hear me?
Trying to.
It's a little fuzzy.
Oh, okay. Maybe, how about now?
No, it's still fuzzy. There we go.
Excellent. It was on our end.
Is that better? Yeah, better?
Yeah, you're good.
Much
we just
better.
Suck at life. Don't worry about us.
No. I really don't care.
So, Mr. Lombardi, how are you, sir?
How are you?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Good, good.
We're doing okay. I'm excited to have you on. I've wanted to have you on for a while. I'm glad it finally worked out.
Yeah, man. Cool. Cool.
You know what I got to ask you right off the bat? Do we start with career or just should I care about? Lewis, you're an Italian guy like myself, correct?
Yeah. You're Italian? What's your last name?
Oh, well what is it? What's bad?
What is it?
Oh, no, we're having some feedback. I'm sorry.
It's Caesar's. Yeah, my producer's yelling at me about feedback.
I don't know. I hear that, too.
Oh, okay. Right. Are you on a landline or a cell, Lewis?
Landline.
Oh, you want to try me from the cell?
Oh, you think it's better like that?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
All right, I'll call you back in 1 second.
Thanks, man.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Lewis.
Bye-bye.
You're a stand-up guy.
You know?
That was a great interview.
I hate doing that. Yeah. Thank you, Lewis. See you later.
All right.
This is why I like to do it live. This is why I like to do everything in person now.
Yeah.
But
if someone can't be here, can't you?
Well, you know, there's only so long I can get yelled at by Caesar about feedback and stuff. I had to do something.
No, well,
we had to make a move.
No, feedback's a bitch.
Let's see. I got a message from Tobias while that was going on. By the way, you haven't said hello to Pat in a while. Say hello to Pat.
Hi, Pat.
It's been a while. Pat Lee. Lee Pat.
Yeah. I still am not sure whether Pat exists.
He does.
Okay.
He does. Maybe Pat will call in during this interview. I know he's a big fan of Lewis's.
Yeah. Is he a fan of mine?
Hello.
All right, Lewis. Yeah, this sounds good. This sounds good to me, but everything sounds good to me.
That's good, right? That's a good thing.
Yeah. So my mom's last name is Tortorella. So I was going to ask you about, in L.A., where do I go for a slice of pie, Lewis?
Oh, my God, Stella Rosa. Stella Rosa Pizza on Main Street in Santa Monica. Oh, my God.
I'm writing it down.
Stella Rosa. Yes, Stella, Stella, Rossi. Oh, man, best pizza in L.A. by far.
Okay, that's what I'm writing down. Now, what kind of pie do you get there? What is it for you?
If they make it like the real thin kind of crispy like you're from Italy, but they're not just a slice like Joe's Pizza in by the Promenade is really good for, like, slices and stuff. But if you really want to go for good, thin-crust, little homemade pies that are, like, right out of that little crisp oven, kind of like Italy style, not like New York style, you know?
Yeah.
He puts different things on them. I mean, it's one of the best pizzerias I've seen in L.A. in the 20 years I've been here. Extra Jeff, the owner. Yeah, if you go in, tell Jeff the owner, Louis sent you.
Oh, I'm going to. I may go there tonight. And I was also going to, there's only one Italian joint I go to, Pizza Cotto, in Brentwood. Is there any other good Italian joints? Where can I get some good pasta at?
You know, it depends. I mean, there's some good spots. I mean, you know, everybody makes it sound like it's so difficult to get pizza in L.A., and I'm like, you got to open your eyes and explore, you know? I mean, I kind of make a lot of Italian food myself, you know? So I really go out for Italian food because I make stuff right in my house, like better than, you know, restaurants. So why go out and waste money on Italian food?
I love that attitude. I love that attitude. I'm better than the fucking restaurant. Louis, I was going to say, let's get started for our people out there listening. How did you get started in the business? What made you become an actor? What was it? When was it?
Let me tell you, when I was 13, I had headshots made up. You know, I love these people who go, hey, how'd you get your big break? You got an overnight success. I'm like, yeah, 30 years overnight, you know? They always said, hey, dude, you got your big break. How? Sopranos? I'm like, I did 50 movies before Sopranos. You know, it's like, you know, people have this illusion of the big break. Like you walk into a room and somebody looks at you and goes, wow, this guy's the biggest star. Tomorrow you have Rock Tom Cruise. It's as opposite as that as possible. It's like if you're a cop or a postman, how long you got to work? 20 years to get a pension, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people think it's easy overnight. And when I was a kid, I didn't have money to go to school. Well, I didn't really go to school. No school. Like, I quit, like, sixth or seventh grade. And how I learned how to act was, what I did was I didn't have the $30,000, $40,000 a year to go to NYU to learn how to make films. And I didn't want to sit in an acting class where, you know, get some frustrated acting teacher yelling at me all day, you know? So what I did was I would audition for NYU Films. And I would get hired.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would get hired as an actor to act on a real set instead of being in a classroom. And as I did these films, I started out, you know how they do it, a group of people make one film, then he makes one, you make one. So I ended up doing like 10 NYU films, back to back to back to back, and I learned how to act under pressure like that in a real situation. Like, even though it's a student film, you're still on set, you still have the camera, you still have the makeup, hair, wardrobe. So, you know, I kind of learned how to act like that and learn how to make films for free. So, and I did that for like 10 years when I was living in New York before I moved to L.A., and you know, I never spent any time in acting school ever.
You know,
or film school. You know, or film school, and I ended up, you know, writing, directing, starring, producing two films, and, you know, I've been in, like, you know, 30, 40 films and about 10 series. You know, I believe that you can teach yourself anything you want. You don't necessarily need the money to go to school. There's libraries, bookstores, internet. You can learn what you want. It's a matter of if you want to, you know?
I absolutely, I think we all agree with
that. I agree with that.
Yeah,
just get out there and do it.
Yeah, and what I started doing now, because everywhere I go, people are always like, oh, my God, how did you start? What was the big break? And I try to explain to people, acting is not going to an acting class and learning your lines. The hardest part of acting is what? Getting the job.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how great of an actor you are. You got to have that mental endurance, that mental strength to keep you going. So what I did was I started these workshops for actors, and not just young or old, just everybody who wants to know how to go about getting into business and not about just acting school. You know, so I was, you know, I start, because the more I go out, the more I try to explain to people, like, this is what you need to do, not just taking an acting class and going, hey, I'm going to get a role, you know? It takes a lot of mental strength to keep going and pursue acting. I mean, it's the toughest business in the world, and the whole thing is mental toughness, just like sports, mental toughness. It's acting is mental toughness. You can't get rejected. You can't get let down or, you know, you're done. And that's basically what this business does, right or wrong. You could be on TV for 10 years. The next day, no one knows who you are.
Right. I got to give you credit there because I think the hardest thing to do is to teach someone how to be good at putting themselves out there, networking, meeting people.
Right.
It's one thing to teach the Strasburg method, but it's another thing entirely to teach people how to stand up for themselves and get out there and do it.
Right.
That's a personality thing.
You're right. That's a personality. That's like you have the – I try to explain to people, like, I didn't go to school, and I lived with a bunch of Strasburg actors. It's funny you say that. And these guys would be sitting in their rooms holding their heads, and the coffee's hot. And I'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, you don't know. We're trained actors. I'd be like, good for you. None of them have gotten any jobs, and I just moved on because of my aggression and passion and my drive. And I try to explain to people, okay, don't get me wrong, it's not bad to be educated, but it's not. It's even better to be motivated and driven. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
And I got to tell you.
And if you want, you know, you can go to my, if anybody out there, you know, is interested in these things, you can go to my website, which is www.lewislombardi.com, my name. And, you know, I'm going to be setting up all the dates and times right after the holidays. You know, I got so many people that, you know, that are, when I start talking, they go, I didn't realize that. It's like the simplest stuff to me because after 30 years of doing something, everything is just one step normal. And when I try to explain to people, well, do this, they're like, I never thought of that. I'm like, really? And sometimes you go, are you kidding me? And they're like, no. And then a couple of people have told me, Louie, you know, you had so much experience and so much this that the simplest thing to you, these people who are trying to get in have no idea about them. So that's what I'm trying to let people know, and I'm trying to inform people and be like, almost like a mentorship. Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
A little bit of a mentorship. And, yeah, so, you know, if anybody's interested, go to my website, again, lewislombardi.com, and leave an email, and, you know, after the holidays, I'll get back, and after I come back from Sundance. You know, I go to Sundance every year. That's how I started.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Now, Louis, let me ask you, how do you deal with because you're a New York guy. How do you deal with balancing New York and Los Angeles?
You know, L.A. is a funny place, okay? L.A. is a great place to live, okay? It's just the people out here, and it ain't necessarily a knock on the people or at the people. It's what this town does to the people. You understand? You can come out here and a great person. If you're in the entertainment business any which way, whether you're an actor, model, writer, producer, everybody comes here. It becomes this melting pot. And then it becomes a melting pot of frustration when people do not hit. So the people start to become bitter, frustrated, and just anything to move forward. And, you know, I kind of set that aside. In New York, if people don't like you, it's, hey, leave me alone, get away from me. Out here, it's like, hey, what can you do for me? As soon as I hit, boom, cling on. You know what I'm trying to say? And if you could keep the reality and perspective of what you are and how what kind of person you really are, then you'll enjoy L.A. so much more. But if you get let down by people and you have these expectations of people, L.A. will hurt you because no one's – it isn't really a real place where, like, if you come from Iowa, Oklahoma, or even New York, like, you know, it's almost like a, more of a – it starts to frustrate people, and that's what changes attitude. You know what I'm saying? Frustration.
Yeah. Is there an advice to success out here, Louis? Is there you just have to – be prepared to hear no and be able to deal with it, working hard, or what?
I try to tell people this business is a no, 10 years later, no, one day, 15 years later, yes. You know, don't think you're going to come out here and everybody's going to go, like I said, this is the guy. We're going to make you a star. It's like, let's be realistic. That's not the way it happens. It takes 20 years of hard work and 20 years of pounding pavements to get anywhere in any career. It's the same thing as acting, you know?
I think people literally still come here and they walk up and down the street and they think someone is going to stop them and put them in a movie.
They
I think that that still happens.
Again?
No, go ahead, Lord.
No.
Yeah, I walk around and people, that's where I get that, when did you get your big break and what this, I'm thinking, the big break is pursuing a career. It doesn't matter. It's not just a job. It's acting is a career, you know. And it's like, you know, people just don't get it. You know, they imagine it, they vision it from their home in Iowa or you know, Canada, wherever they come. They have this vision of grandeur. Oh my God, you know, Hollywood life. And they come here so gung ho, but again, they don't realize about the business as much as they do about the acting stuff. They might think because they're going to get an acting class, like you said, that they're going to be stars. But they come out here with this gung-ho expectation, and all of a sudden it starts, the dejection comes, and it comes, and it comes, and it starts to sink them. And people can't get out of that hole. You know, again, that becomes mental weakness, not mental toughness. Mental toughness is when you can take 1,000 no's and still smile. You know what I'm saying? And that's what builds character.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, Liz, what was the toughest part for you? What was the one time in your life where you're like, man, this is hard?
Now, the last few years, the business has changed so much. You know, they're making less television shows. The unions have shifted from SAG to AFTRA. But, you know, so you can't really – I mean, you know, they went from making like 50 films a year to like 20. They went from making like 60 pilots a year, 70 pilots to like 30. You know, think about it. There's millions of actors fighting for those limited roles. And the last 3, 4, 5 years have, with reality shows and the unions and the economy and the advertising, you know, what propels these things? What makes a television show? Advertising. Without those people spending that money, and you go, well, if you're on cable, like HBO, yeah, without you, they're subscribing a million more people to that channel, they're not going to put these shows on, you know? So it's all based on economy, and as we know, the economy's horrible, you know? So, you know, it's a lot of things that made the business turn in the last few years, which have really been just a little bit, you know, a little harder for actors and people in the business, whether they're writers, actors, directors, or producers.
I was wondering, do you think the Nielsen rating system, do you think relying on that too heavily is now kind of coming back to bite the business a little bit in the ass?
In which way?
Well, like, I just kind of feel like, and I don't know if you agree or not, I kind of want your opinion, that we rely on this system where they put a certain number of cable boxes into a certain number of people who agree to have them in their homes, and then we make an estimate based off of that, who's watching what and what's watching what, but now we can't find out how many people are watching it on the web, how many people are downloading it, how many people are, you know, it only does Nielsen plus 7. And I think that may be scaring advertisers, because advertisers don't really know what's going on. Because if you look at the number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 TV shows this week and compare it to it 10 years ago, these 5 TV shows in the bottom 10 this week would be canceled. The ratings would be abysmal, but they're in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't really know how they can keep track. Like keeping track of residuals. It's such a gray area of, like, how can you really tell is right? So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they do that and how they keep track of it, but I don't know. I really don't. I don't understand that whole system, to be honest with you. Like I said, there's such gray areas that can you really monitor that? What about this 200 million Americans, 250 million? How can you monitor it? How many homes can you actually be in?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on that. And even now, if you watch these cable stations, you know, there's how many stations? A couple of hundred? It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, how do you monitor the little shows that are getting 800, 900, a million viewers? Like, how do you monitor every single, I don't know, I kind of find that intriguing how that works.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there needs to be a new system, because I think that's what's hurting their... There being less pilots now, and I just think the research is not caught up with the times, and I think it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. Not only that, that could easily be manipulated.
Yeah.
To have advertisers lean more towards the network, right or wrong.
Yeah, right. You're right.
You know, it's like, it's kind of like anything. It could be manipulated, and you can go, well, wow, this show's getting 12 million viewers, meanwhile it's getting 7. And an advertiser's like, well, I'm paying a $12 million value, a 12 million viewer value. You know, let me tell you something. This business has absolutely changed in every way. You know what the worst thing is this reality shows. And it ain't just the reality shows in general. It's, well, how did these studios survive for 50 years? Catalogs.
Yeah.
Why do you think all these studios, you know, like, started, how do you think they made their money in the last 50 years?
No, you know.
They bought up all these studios, all these companies, live entertainment, and they bought the catalogs, and they built a strong backbone. Like, their companies were selling DVDs of back catalogs. You're still buying All in the Family, all these old DVDs, Jerry Seinfeld, all these old DVD sets you're buying from 20, 30, 40 years ago. What they're doing now is they're taking the short money, okay, of reality shows, today's money. Okay, well, we'll make it $10 million, $20 million. Sure, but in 20 years from now, you're not going to be able to sell Paris and Hilton or Jersey Shore on DVDs.
No.
So for short money now, they're destroying their 20-year catalog from here on. You understand? They've already sold their stuff. They're not going to have the great sitcoms and the great, you know, all these shows that made these studios make $30 billion a year when DVDs hit. It was for 15 years, these studios are making $30 billion a year, videos on rental and sales, okay? As the time has gone gone on 10 years of reality now, another 10 years, they're going to go back to their library to go, okay, let's sell like we did, you know, with the TV shows that we had. And they're going to go, wait a second. All we have is Survivor. We have, you know, Bad Girls Club, Jersey Shore, Paris Hilton, all these ridiculous reality shows that are going to stop the cash flow for the studios.
Right.
You understand when these studios banked on those catalogs to put them back on cable, to put them back in boxes and resell them. You know, you buy the All in the Families and you buy the I Love Lucy's. You really going to go in 20 years and buy Bad Girls Club? Jersey, are you really going to spend $60 at Best Buy in 10 years on Christmas and buy that? Absolutely not. If you are, I hate to sound rude, but you're a moron. I mean, really, how many times can you watch Ronnie and Snooki spit on each other? Right? How much can you watch Paris Hilton, you know, on a farm? Oh, I'm trying to be a real person. Kim Kardashian. Remember when the actresses used to be Meryl Streep and there used to be these great actresses in the 80s? They were like, you know, real Jessica Lange. I'm only going back to the 80s, never mind the 60s and 50s. And now those were celebrities. That was what Hollywood was, glamour and class. Even the Julia Roberts up until, you know, the 90s. And now it's like Kim Kardashian. What'd she do? She made a porno, and she's a billionaire. What does that say about society? And you know what the funny part is? Is everybody goes, we don't watch porn. No, bullshit, you don't. Everybody watches porn. That's $30 billion a year, the business is.
Lewis, I don't think Matt or I would not admit that we watch porn.
Yeah,
I think we would admit it.
Hey, you know what, bro? To each their own. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what you guys do. As long as I'm not on the phone, you're watching.
Whoa. Not together, Lee.
Yeah, right.
Not together. What are you telling me?
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought you guys cuddled up and watched porn together. My bad.
Oh.
No, I got other roommates for that.
Yeah, right.
Let me ask you, Lewis, pilot season's coming up. You got anything cooking or what?
You know, I always do. I'm working on directing my next film now called Jacked, about a crew of Irish kids who pose as cops and they rob drug dealers. I'm actually working on that script now, and I'm working with a few companies to do that next summer. You know, pilot season is pilot season. You know what it's like? It's like going to Vegas, getting a set of dice in your hand, rolling the dice, and hitting seven. That's your odds, you know? I mean, these days I've been in this business too long to go, hey, diddly-doo, it's pilot season. It's like every day is just getting a job as pilot season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And, you know, all year long is pilot season for a true actor, because he's not just looking for the – I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone wants to be on a show, right? But the reality of it is that whatever comes along, the film, movie, whatever, you know, you take that job and you work. You know what I'm trying to say?
I got to tell you, Lewis, I love you, man. I think – you are the most passionate guy we've had on this show.
Yeah.
Really. Honestly.
Man, and I saw you guys' list of people.
Yeah.
I saw you guys' list of actors on your guys' show. Man, you guys have some great, great talent on your show.
Yeah, that's what I try for. I try to make it like, I try to get the good people. I just don't want people. Good actors.
Yeah, I read your list of stuff, man. You guys absolutely have great people you guys have on the show. I was really happy to be a part of it and be on the show, you know?
I appreciate it.
Feelings of love.
I want to talk a little Sopranos here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm from Chicago and Italian, and all my friends are Italian, and, you know, that's the show ever.
Yeah.
Number one, all time.
And I knew people like that growing up, and so did my parents, and both Matt and I are just nuts for the show.
But you were on...
Are you guys bragging about knowing people like that? That kind of scares me.
Bragging.
You're like, yeah, I know a guy who shoves an ice pick in people's ears. I know a guy who sets people on fire.
But I was going to ask you, you were around at the beginning. So did you know that show was going to take off the way it did?
You know, absolutely not. You don't know any show's going to take off. But I was very, very, very fortunate that I was doing a show in Hawaii for a year with Malcolm McDowell.
Okay?
It was Fantasy Island. It was the remake. Remember that old show?
Yeah.
They had made the remake of Fantasy Island. It was Barry Sonnenfeld. And I was playing Tattoo, and Malcolm was Mr. Rourke. Right? And, yeah, I know. So I did this movie called Suicide Kings, and George Ann Walken had seen me. George Ann Walken had seen me in this film, and she liked my role. She was like, "Wow, it's me and Dennis Leary." And she was like, "Wow, Louis, you're really good in this movie. I want to try to find something for you." I was like, "Cool." I ended up getting this job, moved to Hawaii, okay, for a year to shoot the show. I come back. My show got canceled. I go back to New York for the holidays, and I'm like, "Oh, what am I going to do?" My agent calls. George Ann Walken wants to see you. The next day, after being, you know, the show being canceled, you know, I was like, "Okay." Yeah, right. I go in. I meet David Chase and Gandolfini, who I knew way before Sopranos. I went in. And I auditioned for them the next day, and boom, I was on the second season. And that was the best part, because the show, that at the second season, was like a phenomenon, the show.
Right.
And I walked right into it, you know. I walked right into it, very luckily, you know. I walked into it going, wow, I'm in the second season of the biggest show in TV history. You know, it's like unbelievable. You know, when I went on, we knew it was a hit, the year I was on, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew it was a massive hit when I went on, because it was the second season. I was like, wow, very fortunate to get on in that role that I did. So I appreciate all that love that Sopranos people gave me, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you brought up Dennis Leary. I have a friend, Bruce Fretz, a TV guide. Maybe you've met him. He told me a story that you showed up at some event he moderated with Dennis and Peter Toland. What was that event? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was at for the Academy, one of the Academy things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I was in the Valley, in Burbank, in, like, the Academy Theater or something. And, but I knew Dennis from Suicide Kings.
Right.
Right. And he is, like, one of the classiest, nicest, most real people in the business. Just like Jimmy Gandolfini. The same way, man. That's why those guys stars shine so bright, because they're real people, you know? You know, Dennis Leary is just a true, classy gentleman. He's just a good guy. Treats everyone, you know, I got along with him great. I only met him a few days on the movie, and I worked with him. And, you know, turns out every time I see the guy, whether it's 10 years later, "Hey, Louie, how you doing?" Like, I knew the guy all the time, you know? Just a sheer gentleman with class. If more people were like that in Hollywood, this business would be such a different place to be, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's the kind of people they need out here. I was going to ask you then, I think everyone asked you about 24. You played Edgar Stiles. You're kind of this IT nerd. But I was talking about this. I don't know if you were tuned in before you called, but I was talking to Lee about this. You took a role that on page, I don't know, may have been that significant. And you turned it into something real special, Louis. You really did. With Edgar, you killed that, man. You really did. I have never seen. I'm a huge fan of 24, and I had a lot of friends that were huge fans, and I have never seen so many people come together and go, "Oh my God, I can't believe they killed Edgar."
Yeah, like, it was it was a phenomenon. It was. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and what was that like, though? How'd you get offered that role, and what made you decide to play that role the way you played it?
You know, Joel Surnow, who's the creator of this show, and Joel Surnow, he had seen me on Sopranos. And when I got, when I met him, he was like, "Hey, man, I got this role. I think you were great on Sopranos, and I want to put you on this show. You know, it's only going to be like an episode or two," he said. And I was like, "Really? Wow, that's great, man. You know, going from that show to this show." You know, he was like, "Yeah, I really liked your work." And long story short, he gives me the role, puts me on. And, like, I think 24 is the best writing that has been on TV for a long time. And people go, "Oh, yeah, well, Jack flies in a helicopter in 2 minutes, this, that." And they almost count the bullets. You know what that means? When you're watching a movie and a guy shoots his gun, you're going, one, two, oh, six bullets. How's he go? It's a movie. It's entertainment, okay? And what those 24 writers were able to do was keep you on your seat second by second, which is almost virtually unheard of in a show. I mean, that show, if you went to the bathroom, you missed a show. Sopranos was great, where you could watch a show, miss a show, but still know what was going on. the next show, if you miss it. But not with, not with 24. If you went to the bathroom, what happened? You missed it. You know?
Yeah.
And that fan is like one of the most diehard fans that I've ever seen in TV. And I'm talking about not just here. I went to Japan, London. Japan, it was nuts. People were going crazy for Edgar. You know, and I was like, wow, man, this is like a worldwide phenomenon. It was unbelievable. And honestly, I got to say, I give the credit to those writers on 24. Mm-hmm. I mean, Howard Gordon, the executive producer, Joel Surnow, Peter Lenkov, all those guys that write for that were executive producer, John Cassar, who's the director. You know, I mean, those guys created a machine that was unreal, like that you've seen. I mean, you know, I kind of watched that and I was like in shock some weeks, going, how could they keep this moving like this for many years? And when I got killed off, that show kind of took a beating in the press with viewers. You know, people were so disappointed for killing Edgar. It was like one of the sons, like a kid, like one of the ex-family members to the public. And I love the fans for that, man. The fans still treat me and go crazy. And, you know, and they still love when they see me. Edgar, oh, my God. I'm like, wow, man, this is a powerful character. And I would say 50% of it's me, 50% of it's the writers and the show. You know, I mean, it's definitely a collaboration. And like
Good.
I said, those 24 writers get my respect. And, you know, now that guy Howard Gordon does Homeland on Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime with Claire Danes.
I mean, the guy Howard is a genius. He's a great, great creator, and they're great guys, man. I enjoyed working with that whole 24 crew.
It's funny, Lewis, because you're right, because my dad loved the show, but if he never got through one season, and it's because he'd go 13 episodes, he'd miss one, he'd fall asleep or something early, he'd miss one, and then he'd be like, ah, fuck. Missed the rest of the season. He couldn't. He's like, I can't follow now.
Dads fall asleep. That's what they do.
I'm a dad now. I fall asleep. So don't make fun of us old people.
Hey,
no.
Lewis, I had someone write in too that said when Edgar died, it was the saddest day of my life.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Which fans are more interesting? The 24 fans, the Sopranos fans.
Was that my mother? Who wrote
in? I don't think so. I'm sure your mother's much more beautiful than the mug I'm looking at here.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it some crazy dude?
Yeah, it's some crazy dude.
That's cool, man. That's the biggest shock. Let me explain something to you. The thing about the difference between Soprano fans and 24 fans, Soprano fans are just, they think like you guys. Hey, we grew up around those people. We love that. Hey, F this, F that. Hey, I'm like, yeah, okay, they're kind of scary. The 24 fans are like, and they could be big dudes like me. They could be girls, guys, young, old, race, creed, color, don't matter. The 24 fans are like, oh, my God, I don't want to bother you. I cried when you died. I love you. I'm like, wow, man. It's like big guys like me. It's no, you know, everyone has the same thing. You know, I cried when you died. Oh, my God. And I'm like, wow. You know, it's just like, yo, girls going, oh, my God, it's sad. I'm like, guys, girl, it didn't matter with Edgar. People felt like he was, like they knew him, like he was their neighbor or their brother or their cousin. And I would get that a lot. People would be like, hey, man, you remind me of my cousin. You remind me of my nephew, my brother, my, you know, everything, you know. And I kind of think I related to the world as a normal person next door, you know, who could save the world with his brain and not a gun like Jack Bauer. You know, I could shut down stuff with the computer where most people go, hey, we could probably do that if we were smart enough. But how many people can jump out of a helicopter with a gun? You know, so I was almost more of a realistic hero on that show, you know? I think I can relate to the normal. Jazz?
I'd pay good money to see Louis Lombardi jump out of a helicopter with a gun.
Hey, the only way I'm going out of a helicopter with a gun is if you got it to my head.
I'd pay good money. You know, I was going to ask you, did you get shit on Sopranos from your Italian friends for playing a Fed?
Oh, my God.
Great question.
And most of my friends and family, you know, are from the Bronx. Everybody's like, hey, all I get, and not just from the Bronx, everywhere around the country, hey, you fucking rat. I'm like, whoa, I'm not a rat. I'm the cop who busted the rat. Who was selling heroin and beat his wife and killed a guy with a hammer. And I'm the bad guy? You know, people will be like, you scumbag, you rat. I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm the good guy. Oh, man, yeah, it's pretty funny, though, you know. And that, you know, those Soprano fans are just as diehard as 24 fans. You know, they're so, you know.
Come on, but then you were a part of another movie with a huge fan base, a huge cult fan base, Beer League.
Yeah.
Beer League.
Yeah. Yeah,
how did you get involved with that? Was that Artie? I'm assuming you know Artie.
Yeah, you know what? His producers had called me, and his producers were like, hey, Louie, you know, you want to do this movie? You know, Artie's starring in it, blah, blah, blah. He wants you in the movie. We're flying. I was like, sure. And when I met Artie, he was the coolest dude ever. And he was just like, hey, Louie, blah, blah, blah. You know, I really like your work, blah, blah, blah. And he, you know, just put me in the film, you know. And that was great. I got to say, so many people stopped me from that. You know, so many people are like, hey, you're the guy in Beer League. I'm like, yeah, you know. It's like, you didn't think that many people saw the film, but it's a cult-like film, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's gotten around. I mean, Jim Palumbo's trying to make a second one, I know.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what Jimmy tells me. I mean,
he said that on our show,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he's working hard at it. I think with Artie coming back, maybe they can get something going. I think that'd be great.
I hope so, man. I'd be in it for those guys in a second. They're good guys.
Yeah, they're great. Jimmy's the best. I was going to ask you, though, about Entourage. Now,
yeah,
a lot of people on from that show. What was your experience like on that show? It seems everyone really had a very enjoyable time on that show, but I know the people behind the show are very serious dudes.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I'm still kind of shocked that it was so fun for everybody.
Like who? Who's so serious?
I don't know. Those guys just seem like a serious group of dudes. Like Marky Mark, yeah, and Doug Eelin. They don't seem like they fuck around, but I could be really wrong.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg is, again, you talk about gentlemen, and you talk about people of class. Mark Wahlberg is by far one of those people. I actually knew him from when we... All right, let me give you a little thing. Doug Eelin, you know how we know these guys? Rob Weiss is the executive producer. Doug Eelin, Rob Weiss were buddies from Long Island back, you know, 20 years ago. I did a movie called Among Friends, my first movie. Okay?
Sure.
Mila Savino was a casting person. This is back 20-something years ago. This is before anybody was, you know, anything. And Doug Eelin and Rob Weiss moved out here. Rob Weiss directed Among Friends, wrote, directed, and starred in it. And that's how we all know each other from 20-something years ago.
And is that what got you started with Sundance all the time, too?
Yeah, I went to Sundance in 1993 because Among Friends was a humongous hit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and that's how Rob Weiss started. And after I went from the Bronx to Sundance, I ended up moving out to L.A. and it started my whole career, you know? And it was like, you know, that's basically was like the start, jump start of my career back in the day. And Doug Eelin was around then. He was best friends with Rob Weiss, all from Long Island. You know, Mark Wahlberg, when he first came out here, you know, he was, you know, we used to hang out at Mickey Rourke's gym like 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And we used to hang out at Mickey Rourke's gym. He would do the stories. Mark would be there with all his guys. You know, Mark has always been a great guy, man. I don't think he liked me to call him Marky Mark, so. You know, and you know what? 99% he'd kick your ass. I can bet that.
Yeah, you better knock that off, man.
He's a pretty tough dude.
I think 99% is an underestimate there, Louis.
All right, well, you can probably kick my ass then.
Now, wait, Louis, he doesn't like Marky Mark then, huh? That's not his thing.
No, I mean, well, you know, it's like, you know, he's come a long way, man. He's a great actor. He's a great businessman. And he's a great guy. Mark is a good guy, Mark Wahlberg. I met him a few times. He's been just nothing but a gentleman to me. Every time I see him, you know, he's the epitome of class, you know. That's a guy, another one. You know, I've been very fortunate from, like, Dennis Leary to Gandolfini to, like, you know, Mark Wahl. I mean, knowing these people who put me in their projects, and they're all classy, great, respectful guys, you know? You know, yeah. I wouldn't be disrespectful to any one of those guys in any capacity, you know?
Well, I don't want you to name names, but you've worked with so many great people. Has there any been any divas you worked with or anything? And what's the downfall of being like that?
Downfall is that you become a bitter person. You know, why would you be bitter to people when your life is so good, when you're making money, You know, it ain't all about money, but when you're achieving what you set out to achieve in life, you know, and you know, people, that's just personalities. It don't matter if you're a plumber or if you're an actor. If you're bitter, you're bitter. Am I right or wrong? It don't matter what you do for a living. You know, it's the person inside you. And I, don't get me wrong, I've seen people who are humble pie and then get a role and become, you know, asswad centrals. You know what I'm saying? And you go, do you really, like, is this the way you really are? You know, but when you get in our business and you start getting treated like, yes, Mr. Lombardi, here's your car, here's your food, here's this, here's that, it starts to go to your head a little bit. You start to think, yeah, whatever, yeah, I deserve this. And you start to think, wait a second, I make in a week what somebody makes in a year. I don't deserve it. I should appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
And this business does build egos and monsters, I have to say. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, the individual sometimes. You know, it's the people surrounding you that give you that head, you know, and give you that mentality. Because everyone wants to suck up to you. When you're riding high, everyone wants to be your best friend. You don't get a job for 6 months. You see how many people call you back, you know?
Well, I imagine you being the object of some envy of a lot of male actors, because you get to do the most, like, you get to do all the movies and TV shows that guys wish they could do. Like, your credit list is like everything guys have on their shelf. Suicide Kings, 3,000 Miles to Graceland, Natural Born Killers, Usual Suspects, Spirit, all these things that, like, those are, that's guy entertainment.
Right, even like Sopranos, 24, even Entourage, right.
Right.
Yeah, it is. You're right. You know, but you know what? I actually have a huge fan base of females and men. Just, it's probably the same thing. It really is.
Well, anything good. Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you, Louis, is there something you haven't done that you want to do, or someone you want to work with, or what is the thing you want to do with your career? Is there still a dream, some dream job?
Yeah, I want to direct. I want to direct and write and produce. I've written about 10, 15 projects. And I did my first one called Doughboys. You can check it out on, it's on Netflix, all those Amazon and stuff. I wrote and directed and started my first film, and I shot it all in my neighborhood in the Bronx. And I've written a bunch of scripts that I want to direct now. Acting is great. I love acting. But I actually want to do more, like, directing, writing, and producing, which it looked like I'm getting ready to do now. I'm gearing more toward that now in my second half of my career, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I think that's going to be great for you. You said you're working on a new film right now. Have you casted it? Do you have anything you can share about it?
Oh, yeah. It's just about a crew of Irish guys who pose as cops and they rob drug dealers in drug spots. And, This is based on true stories, events, me growing up in the Bronx. So, you know, we're putting that together now, and that's something I really want to do, like, April, May in New York, if it all goes right. No?
No, yeah. Do you have anyone in mind for the roles, or are you going to go with newcomers, or what?
I don't know. We're going to cast, you know, again, it's a business, so you really have to cast based upon a lot of different things, the financiers, the chemistry of the actors, you know, it's definitely about the finances, you know, whoever can sell to make money to get their movies money back, it's what you have no choice. You know, again, it's a business. Everyone thinks, you know, you get what you got your parents' video camera, you're out there, you're shooting. It's such a big business that you have to follow some guidelines of what does what to make money, you know? No one's going to put up $10 million to go, hey, let's put, you know, your uncle from Iowa in the movie. Like, you need to put people who are going to be able to sell and put people in the seat. So, you know, that's basically how it is. So there's a few people that I want for the film. It's just a matter of who they want to put in, who they can get, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, I would assume that's it. And
I want to shoot it throughout the South Bronx in the summer. I mean, this movie's going to be dark, crazy, insane movie. Like I said, it's about kids who pose as cops and rob drug dealers throughout the South Bronx. So,
pretty excited.
It's all based on true stories, you know, of me growing up.
You killed the log line, that's for sure. That's a good one. That's a good log line right there.
Yeah.
You got any roles you got coming up?
Yeah, I did a movie for Peter Berg called Battleship.
Oh, that Peter Berg. He's decent, huh? He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, man. I did that movie with Brooklyn Decker, Alex Sarsgaard. I did like a couple of scenes in that, and then I did this animated movie called Ronald the Barbarian, where I play the voice of this crazy alien kind of character, where he's like cursing up a storm, and it's really a fun film to do. It's an animated movie. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's called Ronald the Barbarian. You can check it out online somewhere.
And is it not a children's movie?
No, absolutely not. You know what's in it? I think Dee Snider from Twisted Sister did a voice of one of the characters. And, I mean, they had a bunch of good actors come in and do it.
Oh, wow. And Brooklyn Decker, is she still not looking any good on that battleship? That's one ugly fraud, right?
Yeah, I don't know how I can sit in a room and work with her. Yeah. I had a struggle with that one. No. Let's not even joke. She's a beautiful girl. We all know that.
She's gorgeous. And
she's nice. Oh. And she's like, man, the nicest person. I don't know if it's just me that people are nice to, or because I always have a great experience with actors. You know, I don't have bad. I really can't sit here and go, well, I don't like this guy or that guy I've worked with. I really don't know many actors like that I had a bad experience with. That's a great thing to say after a 30-year career, you know. And you know, I could pick the better ones 100 times more than I could pick the one or two bad ones. Which, you know, is a compliment to maybe just me as an actor, or people just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, is there anything else you need to promote, Lewis, or anything else you got going on?
Just all of that stuff, man. Working on doing this movie, waiting for these three films to come out, and like I said, these workshops I'm doing, people that are interested in LA that want to get in the business should really check these out, because this is going to be something that, like I said, it's more of a mentorship, you know. And like I said, I love teaching, I love talking. You know, I love it. Like, as you can tell now, I'm on the phone. I mean, I'm passionate about what I do, and this to me is a passion project, these workshops. Like, I want to try to guide kids and not let them get frustrated and get bitter and start to lose the grip on what's going on. You know, focus, mental toughness, stay strong, and you will succeed. You know, you will. If you quit, guess what? You'll never succeed if you quit. Am I right or wrong? You'll never know what's in the next page. If you stop on page 20, what's the end of the book? You'll never know.
No, and you know? I really want to thank you for doing this, Lewis. We will promote your website and your classes and your film, and I hope when you're done shooting it, you'll come sit in and do a show.
Yeah, man, anytime you guys want a guest, a fill-in guest, to talk about anything, light stuff, headlines, news stuff, you guys give me a call, man. Don't have to be about food.
I'm going to do that, and next time you go to Santa Monica and get some Stella Rosa pizza, you call
me.
Are
you located in Santa Monica?
I'm in Studio City, so I'm close, 20 minutes.
Oh, so why don't you email me your phone number and your info, and then, like I said, one night if I'm headed over there, I'll call you. Come over there with me.
Sounds great, Lewis.
Sounds good, buddy.
Thank you so much, man.
LewisLombardi.com.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. All right, bye.
All right, let's take a small break so I can have a smoke. Lewis Lombardi was great, huh?
Greatest.
Yeah, we'll come back and talk about the interview.
Yeah.
But, by the way, so there's a commercial. So Marky Mark's going to beat me up.
Knock off the Marky Mark, Matt. Knock it off.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, you're
Please
right.
Forever.
I'll just leave it at that.
I'm agreeing with Caesar.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby? I get two.
he's on the back up. Truck free, to put the crack up. No need for speed, I'm anti. D-R-U-T-G-I-E, my body is selfish. Or I'm big and wealthy. And my Pokemon tells me to bring you a show with no intoxication. Come on, feel my vibration.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
Lombardi, it was good.
Very good guest. I wish very passionate.
I was trying to get him to sit in. He's a busy man. I understand that. We got to get him to sit in sometime, though.
Yeah.
He's too good. He's too good.
It was very passionate.
I want to see that passion in person.
Very passionate. Very Italian. I like that. It was like having Lenny on, but if Lenny didn't have anything to complain about.
Yeah. Or if Lenny had a career. It's like if we knew what Lenny does.
Hey, you don't talk about that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't know. Japanese, they love Edgar.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what you learned?
Yeah.
What did you learn from
That's
the
what
interview?
I took away from
I like when Lee gives his what he learns from the interview.
Right.
What did you learn?
I've learned something today.
You learned that the Japanese love
Edgar.
Edgar Stiles.
Edgar.
Played by Louis Lamar.
Edgar Stiles. I didn't mean to do that.
Look, I just want to go grab a slice with Lewis now.
Yeah.
I may quit the show right now. And just,
oh, God.
Let's go grab a
slice.
Now
you guys are talking about pizza.
Yeah, I know. You can't eat.
Yeah. I'm craving some pizza. A good slice, man. A good, big, floppy, foldable West Coast slice.
Yeah, those. And, you know, they try to make those out here, but there's a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
Few good ones.
No, but, you know, he's right, though. It's like anything else. You have to just – there's the good stuff is here. You have to just hunt for it.
Maybe Mike Binder needs to open up a slice joint.
Ooh.
Maybe I need to call Mikey Mike, and I need him to open up a slice joint. Mike, I think you need to start doing slices. Don't tell Diane. Don't.
Oh. Yeah.
I need a good sausage slice out here. I need – yeah, good pie.
Okay. Don't.
Do they got pie in? They got Domino's.
Don't get on her bad side.
No. Well, oh, you mean a slice joint may get on her bad side?
Yeah.
Don't put that idea in his head?
No.
Hey, look, you know, they got Domino's in Detroit, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Domino's has that amazing delivery system now, though.
They do. Did you get their sandwiches? Pretty?
Yeah, I tried their buffalo chicken. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
It really wasn't bad.
Yeah. Is it maybe just because you had the bar was low expectations?
I was in a Super 8 motel, so the bar was already as low as it goes.
Was this on the drive?
No.
Oh.
No. No, this is vacation.
Oh.
You know, you're in Super 8. You might as well get Domino's.
Yeah.
And they advertise Domino's in every Super 8.
Yeah.
So that made sense at the time. What else do we got going on? We want to do some news today?
We could. Oh, Ronnie.
Oh, you want to call Ron Ron?
We could give it a try.
Ronnie Ron?
Yeah.
Adieu, Ron Ron Ron.
Adieu, Ron Ron.
Well, I got to find his number.
You
want to call Ronnie?
Well, we did mention, we'll see if he's stirring. This is Ron Lotz from Cigars and Stripes in Berwyn, Illinois.
I'm going to give him a ring.
Yeah. Friend of the show.
All right, here we go.
Always outlandish.
We are going to call Ronnie.
Passionate is the theme, is the buzzword for today, so we're having Ron on. It's the Pee Wee's Playhouse. John Go Wild.
This is going to be...
Yeah. About what? I have no idea.
No. And it's 6 o'clock back home in Chicago. Cigars and Stripes, Ronnie Lott.
Please be there.
Well.
Sometimes he's upstairs doing whatever the hell he does.
Hello?
Ronnie?
Yeah, who's this?
Matthew Aaron of the Matthew Aaron Show here with Lee Capreas out in California. How you doing, pal?
What are you doing in California, man? I mean, what is really going on there?
Wait, did you think I was fucking with you about the move?
No,
I don't know. I mean, listen, what kind of sane person does that to themselves? You know what I mean?
Oh, well, we do. And we've been talking about you out here. We're telling everyone the comedy clubs out here cannot top you.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had a really good one. It was a good one the other night.
Yeah?
What'd you have going on?
Thanksgiving Eve. Listen to me. Listen. These two goddamn fat gum guys come in at the door, and I see this old guy Larry out there. And he's breaking their balls. He's like, fuck you, $5 to get in, blah, blah, blah. So I go over there and I try to explain to Laddie. I said, listen, it's like 5 in the fucking afternoon. You know what I mean? And we don't start charging a cover. He goes, no, we start to charge cover now. So I let the one guy in. And then the other guy says, I'll fucking buy this place. You guys are assholes in here and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I say, listen, if you buy this place, then I don't have to fucking deal with people like you, whatever.
Yeah, right.
So here's the point of this. It's like 5 in the afternoon. So anyway, I recognize the other guy who sells me propane. I said, all right, he's going to stay. He goes, oh, I want to stay. Fuck him then. That guy leaves. Next thing you know, we're at the comedy show. Guess who the biggest jack-off is that I let in for free? It's that thick-skulled asshole at the bar. You know what I mean? Whatever.
Oh,
so Jack Mantooth. He's on stage, he threw a beer at him, and then he ran at him and said, I'm going to choke you with my cock, and he's standing in front of him, pulling his fucking pants down. It was crazy.
You're choking people with people's cocks is never good, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Well, listen to me. We lost control of the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Heckling got out of hand, the fucking people were talking, was drunk. I mean, everyone comes out to get drunk, they start drinking at noon on that day anyway, you know what I mean?
Something. You got some vicious hecklers in that place sometimes. It can really frustrate a newbie.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, that's Lee Capreas.
Yeah.
What the
fuck? How you doing?
Are you guys living together?
Yeah. How gay is that?
That's great, man. Listen, when I talk, I hear a double of my voice, or whatever that's worth.
Oh, well, you have some feedback going.
I don't know what it is.
Ronnie, did the number come up on your phone?
I think so. Well, yeah, there's a number there.
I'll be right back. Maybe there won't be any feedback.
I'll call you back.
Ronnie Lott's got to call us.
Yeah.
Caesar says there's a little feedback.
Okay.
And Ronnie says he can hear himself.
Yeah.
I don't know how he can hear himself, but I don't know how there's feedback on Ronnie's end.
Yeah, like, how does that happen?
His equipment's awful.
Yeah. He was already listening to the show, and then he acted like he wasn't,
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening the whole time, all 6 hours you've been on. No, Ronnie, it's a two-hour show.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to find out why Ronnie didn't kill himself.
Yeah, he's alive.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by why Ronnie didn't kill himself.
Let's get him to talk about that.
Hey, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm back. There you go. That sounds more like it.
I got a question for you, though. You told me you were going to kill yourself. I'm glad you didn't. I'm really checking in on you.
Oh, listen to me. I'm glad I didn't kill myself on Halloween. I was killing myself on Halloween.
Yeah, I know you were.
I'm glad I didn't do it, because they're not worth it. They're not fucking worth it. I put these fucking people on a goddamn limo bus. Listen to me. A limo bus. I'm talking leather fucking chairs, goddamn scary movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, big screen going on there. I put 8 cases of a fucking German black lager on there, ice cold. Iron Balls MacArthur, also known as Michael MacArthur, is the fucking host. They went to a Hindu temple and they force fed them almonds. You know what I mean? Some fucking Hindu guy was blessing them when they were coming in. You know, they're inside of this carpeted place with their shoes off. I get a phone call. Yeah, Ronnie, we're real pleased with this. We're out of beer. And I just hung up on the fucking guy. Next thing you know, they go to Resurrection Mary. Everyone starts, they're all fucking, they drank 8 cases of beer from my store to the time they get to fucking Archer. Next thing you know, the host is outside. They're taking turns in the parking lot, kicking him in the balls. You know what I'm saying? So then this fucking fat bitch comes back and she says, we want our money back. Meanwhile, I got the buildings filled with fucking smoke. I got Exorcist on the fucking big screen. There's hot dogs there that look like they're bloody fingers. And there's more fucking beer. I gave everyone a fucking T-shirt. I was going to actually kill myself for these people on that night. So when they come back, they get a little, you know, I'm dead. I'm glad I didn't do it. They're not fucking worth it.
I have to say that is my favorite reason for not killing oneself that I've ever heard in my life. When you ask someone, why didn't you kill yourself, and they say something to the tune of, I wouldn't give those assholes the satisfaction, that is the best reason.
Okay, but am I wrong, Lee? Ronnie throws the best Halloween party of all time.
You do. You throw a kick-ass party, Ronnie.
I don't know. This Halloween got a little fucking squirrely, man. That fucking Happy the Human Pincushion, man, he's a real sick, 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 sick person. You know, he's up there, and he sticks a big, you know, like penny nail through his tongue, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And he hangs a bag on it. Well, he calls me up on stage, and he says, well, you know, start dropping pool balls in the bag. And everyone starts, I got fucking nauseous, terrible. I fucking passed out. Passed out on stage. It's terrible.
Who's the guy?
Motherfuckers put me in a chair. I'm passed out. They put a spotlight on me. He starts sticking me with fucking needles. He's a very sick person. Very sick. I'm very, very sick.
I heard you.
You know, I got my 12-year-old over there wanting to get his fucking, you know, get a piercing or some shit like that. And then he sees his dad up there getting pierced. I mean, I was unconscious. I don't know. He's a very sick person.
I heard you had a guy come into an open mic and wanted some girl to step on his testicles or something. What is this?
No, that's Iron Balls MacArthur. That's the reason I didn't kill myself. That's the host. That's the guy they were kicking at the balls in the balls on the haunted bus tour. That sounds like a good Halloween to me. How dare they want their fucking money back?
Yeah.
How many times did you kick him in the nads?
Well, no, here's the thing. He likes pretty ladies.
Oh my God.
Not really pretty, because he called up and he said next year he's got this farm girl and a roller derby team that he's going to have kick him. He claims that he wants to be the Evel Knievel of getting his balls slammed. So I actually have the recording. I should send it to you in a fucking file. It's hilarious. The conversation is just sickening. It's just great shit.
That's going on MatthewAaron.com.
Yeah, that would be right on the show.
Yeah.
That would be on the next show.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hey, listen, way you're going to get... Huh?
Let's get Iron Balls on.
Oh, I'll get him. Listen, I'll even call you guys, man. You'll love it.
Don't
pull any
favors, Ronnie. I don't want you to go crazy.
No.
Don't call his agent up or anything.
He has an agent.
He slept by my pool table for like 3-4 days. I put him up for a week. He flew in from like, you know, upstate, wherever the fuck that he's from, Seattle or some shit.
Oh, Iron Balls. Okay.
Well, you know, it was weird because he lays on the couch there, and he's really odd. Because, you know, he had all his fucking teeth removed. He got, like, teeth that really look like vampire teeth. I mean, the motherfucker's laying there in the morning. You know, I walk down the stairs with my 12-year-old, and the kid, he looks down, and he goes, who's that guy? Well, that's Iron Balls. Because he looks like a vampire. The way he had his arms folded, looks like a fucking corpse laying on my couch. I said, let's put a stake in his fucking ass. Let's drill a big wooden stake right through his fucking heart right now. Whatever.
Hey, what's this I hear?
What's going on with you guys, man? What's going on with you guys out there, really? What are you guys doing?
Shaking hands, kissing babies, rubbing elbows. We got a job. He's a caddy.
Yeah. Which was...
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, and I'm bloating people to get work.
I didn't even know they had cabs in L.A.
No, caddy.
A caddy with, like, golf?
Yeah, he carries around people's golf clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's a good one. That's not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other
shit,
than the...
You
have to walk.
Yeah.
Well, listen to me. You might hook up with... maybe you get on Vince Neil's golf outing or some shit. You know what I mean? That's a good one. That's a fucking good one.
That's the Pebble Beach,
yeah, I know.
Celebrity golf outing.
He went right to Vince Neil.
Vince Neil, yeah.
Oh, no, listen, he throws a fucking golf outing like you don't believe. That's a
really?
Good one. Get on that one. I mean, just for the drugs alone. I mean, you guys might actually get some pussy if you get on that fucking golf outing.
Yeah.
let's not get crazy about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of time for designer drugs.
No,
well,
I mean,
I'm just telling you that you're not going to get anything that even resembles a vagina unless you do every drug that they put in front of your fucking face and hang out with the whiskey all day. I mean, basically, that's it.
Okay. Ronnie, I've done that, and I can't get pussy. Right?
Ronnie, have you ever thought of becoming a motivational speaker?
Yes.
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 Be good. You'd be better than Andrew WK.
Ronnie, what's this I heard John Griffin did your open mic as Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah, he did. It was actually kind of amusing. Kind of amusing. It was actually kind of funny, you know. In fact, he's going to host the show tonight again. I'm going to make him wear that fucking mask because he's funnier with the mask on.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
he's another motherfucker. He's another bastard. You know what he did? I had him here for the goddamn Freaktoberfest. Had 16 beers on tap, blood red beer flowing. I said, the world's greatest Sammy Davis fucking impersonator. Okay, he did his blackface thing. Everyone wants to say it's blackface. You know what I mean? But it's not blackface. It was a Sammy Davis fucking impersonation.
Right.
I mean, blackface is with the big white. You know what I mean? He didn't do
right.
all that shit. He looked
right.
like Sammy Davis, and it went over. Well, then the next day, he comes back again on Halloween and said, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest Sammy Davis Jr. impersonator comes out, no fucking makeup on. No fucking makeup on, this cocksucker.
Oh
man!
He's got the outfit on. He's got everything on, and then he says to me, "Well, I thought it would be funnier if I just had the garb on and really didn't like, you know, have the blackface, man." And I went, "Well, hey, man, you're getting like half the fucking money, man. You know what I mean? Fucking jag off."
That he does that. He does the impression all the time, like not just on
my
stage, always.
My favorite is Ronnie's the only person ever that's pissed you didn't put on blackface.
Yeah. Well, then
you're getting half your fucking money. You
yeah.
didn't put on some blackface.
What I love is that once you do something outlandish at Cigars, you have to do it every single time. You
yeah.
know what I mean? You can't go backwards.
Well, Ronnie has his favorite acts, and when you do one of Ronnie's favorites, you better keep doing it. Ronnie likes an act, and he wants you to stick to it.
Right.
Improve it. Do better.
Well, you know, I mean, what's his name? That fucking guy. That Mike Sheehan. You guys friends with Mike Sheehan?
I know Mike Sheehan.
I know Mike.
I wouldn't say friends, but
that
I know.
That fucking bit he does about good advice and bad advice and about coming on a dead guy, that is so fucking fun to me. That, listen, that's just, it's so fucking funny. You know what I mean? I don't know why that makes that giggle every time I think about that bit. But, you know. Listen, John Griffin's good. Here's my point. If you're going to do Sammy Davis Jr., put on the fucking makeup, okay? Go for it. I told him, listen, you get a job at, like, Grin and Barrett, ring, you know, birthday fucking, sing, like, happy birthday, man. You know what I mean? They'll pay you more than you're making stand-up fucking comedy.
Oh, man. Remember when we talked to Dina Martin? She talked about her disdain for the Dean Martin impersonators in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shelley Leibowitz.
Yeah, right.
Shelley said the impersonators were the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Ronnie,
listen.
You go ahead.
No, we got a delay here. I just realized that. Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, I think my point is that if these comics out here would have a gimmick, you know what I mean? Now, like the unknown comic. Remember that guy with the fucking bag on his head?
Yeah,
that's the way to go.
That is the way to go. That's one way.
That guy still performs, too.
I don't know if he's getting a TV show with the bag on his head, but yes.
Hey, listen to me. Here's my point. You guys could put a bag on your fucking head and book yourself as the unknown comic, and who the fuck's going to know? You know what I mean?
That's true. No one knows what's going on in Berwyn.
Listen, you could do it in L.A. and they wouldn't even know any better. You go to the fuck. What's the comedy club over there? What's the name of that one?
The
big one. I'm off the strip.
The Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, go to one of those. You know what I mean? Where the bag, and I'll never know.
I think Lee's going to the Comedy Store tomorrow.
Check it out.
check
dude,
it out.
I saw Sam Kinison there with like six people in the audience.
Oh, man.
How great was that?
He fucking did. It was great because I was with this little Mexican broad. I couldn't stand her. Anyway, she fucking, man, he fucking really, he really gave it the full show. It was like six people. I'm not kidding with you.
Oh, wow.
This is like the greatest thing ever. It's like us and him. And you know what? He barreled through it, man.
And how many lengths of flow did you do with the man?
Yeah, right.
Oh, done. I got the fuck out of there.
Oh.
No, I got out of there. I felt like, listen, you know, that's the thing about it. Listen, there's certain comics out there that have this energy and this presence, and they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? It's like, listen, there's five people here. I'm going to rock these five people. And if that's something that's really good. You know, sometimes, believe it or not, Cigars and Stripes, you know, doesn't really draw. You know what I mean? There are nights there where there's nothing going on. There's actually one comic's like, well, I'm going to go home. You know what I mean? And then there's the guy that sits there and says, fuck it, I'm going to tell jokes to these five people. I'm going to walk behind the bar. You know what I mean? And that's going to be the end of it.
I drove all the way out there. I'm going to have some fun, at least.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm going to have some fun for me. If not for them, for me.
Well, you know, that's the thing about these stand-up comics. You know, they think they're like, you know, like Seinfeld or something. Like, listen, you guys at least, and I'm not going to say Facebook is a good thing, but God damn it, send out a fucking text message to your asshole friends at work. You know what I mean? Print up a goddamn card. I mean, Daryl Moon's out here right now. You know what I mean? He brought me a poster. He's not here tonight. He's here the 10th. He's really, really good. Kind of, I don't know if you know him, but he's kind of like a feature act. And he tags around Peoria. He goes up to Wisconsin Dells. No big deal. But you know what? He's solid as fuck. And his wife made a nice poster of him, you know, with some fat broad kissing him on the face and some other comic. And they're doing something odd in the photo. Put my logo in it. You know, my point is, at the liquor store, I just put up a poster. I got the posters up. City of Berwyn just put it in their goddamn email blast. You know what I mean? At least it takes a fucking incentive to get out and promote yourself. Listen, you're in L.A., man. How about Nice Peter? Peter Sukoff.
Oh, Nice Peter's in L.A. You told me
he was in L.A. You know what? He's not only in L.A., he's kicking L.A.'s balls. I mean, he's really, his YouTube hits every single goddamn video, 300,000 plus.
You told me he was doing some children's thing, though.
Well, his new thing is to kind of clean up his material a little bit, you know what I mean? And he realized, hey, listen, you know, the kids that are 15 and 16 years old to 23 years old they're the ones on the internet, man. They're the ones logging on, and he gets a paycheck from YouTube. YouTube flies them all over the fucking place. I mean, they give him chaperones and shit. Like, you can't even go smoke fucking pot anymore. You're like, you know, I'm going to go outside and do a one-hitter. They're like, hey, wait, you can't be doing that. He's like, hey, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Show business and stuff.
That's a good one.
Well, the paycheck's there. You know what I mean? I think you guys are going to do great out there. So where is the show going? I mean, is this just like a – what are you doing?
I'm going to start doing the show from – I don't know if you know of director-writer Mike Binder. I'm going to start doing the show from his restaurant out here.
What restaurant is it?
It's called Coney Dog. They serve Detroit style Coney dogs.
Chili dog.
Where? What? Give me the streets.
8873 Sunset Boulevard.
Oh my God, that's going to be a nice little hit.
Yeah,
that's
right
going to be a great little.
It's next door to Whiskey A Go Go and across the street from the Viper Room.
Know exactly where it is. I know exactly where that is. Well, my sister's got a hot dog place called Taste Chicago. And that's over the fucking hill, and that's in Toluca Lake. It's right over the hill. But
yeah,
my
the Joe Montaigne place.
That's the one.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there the other day.
Well, good. You go in there and say, "Oh, my friends are on." And it should be like, "Yeah, fine, $5." Listen, this $7.95 for a fucking beef sandwich. $7.95 for a fucking beef.
Wow.
They can't get you can't get the same cut of meat that you get in Chicago. It's a certain part of the fucking animal that you just can't get in L.A. So they're using actually a better cut of meat. Traditionally, Chicago beefs are made from it's the lower end cut, but they slow roast it, and that's you know, with the garlic juice. That's how they come up with that great Chicago beef sandwich. You can't get that cut out in California. It's weird. You can get anything. You can't. Can't get it.
No, the meat out here sucks, Ronnie. You can't make a good sausage out here. I went to the best Italian deli. They got no sausage there. Like, small little links. They look like breakfast wieners.
you guys are probably living in a basement somewhere. Why don't you guys just fucking make it yourself and, you know, just fucking just hang it in the basement over there, wherever you're at.
Yeah, right.
Have you been to Taste Chicago, Ren?
Yeah, Taste Chicago. Listen, hands down the best beef, and if you really want an authentic goddamn beef sandwich or Chicago hot dog, they got the poppy seeds and everything on there.
We had a guest bring by the beef 2 weeks ago. He says it's his favorite beef. He's from Chicago, James Dumont.
Yeah.
He brought by some beef from Taste Chicago. And the you know what? The pizza's pretty
good.
They
got a decent deep dish, too.
Yeah, the deep dish is pretty good.
Well, you know that's what I like about Los Angeles. Like, my sister says, "Listen, oh, you know who was in that big animal, that biker with his son." I'm like, "Which one?" She goes, "They build the choppers." I'm like, "Oh, Jesse James?" She goes, "The other guy with the big mustache." I was, "Oh, the Orange County guy." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "You know that motherfucker had three beef sandwiches?" The old man.
I love it.
LA's different out there because you never know. The next thing you know, you got Jay Leno in line.
Right.
When are we getting Ronnie Lott out here?
I don't know, man. I come out there in summer. For what? What am I going to fucking do out there, realistically?
Hang out with us. That's what you're going to do. You can bother everyone.
Oh, man, hanging out with Ron. I've never done that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's stupid. It goes nowhere. Listen, I'll come out there, but I'm actually going to come out there. I don't know why. I thought I was having a fucking heart attack the other night.
Why did you almost have a heart attack?
I don't know, man. My right arm went fucking numb. It hurt like a fucking bitch. It was 3 in the morning. I started pacing around, started getting nervous. So I'm just going to go lay down. So, I think I'm having a heart attack, so I go have a cigarette. That's intelligent. Then.
Must light cigarette.
No, listen to me. This is fucked up, man. 7 o'clock in the goddamn morning. It starts hurting even worse. I'm like, holy fuck. Right, immediately. I just start deleting text messages, fucking going like, okay, you know what I mean? Any shit-stained fucking underwear I got laying around, let's fold those up and hide them, throw them out. I think I'm going to the hospital and fucking die. I think I'm dead.
Oh.
And I get on the BlackBerry, so wait a second, let me just check into this real quick. It's not the right arm, it's the fucking left arm. It's the left arm.
Oh, well, good thing.
Yeah.
That right arm.
Oh, shit.
Feel like death. That was just a stroke.
See, we're stricken ambidextrous.
Hey, listen, man, I don't know what to tell you, but that's a fucking scary feeling because there's a lot of loose ends that are tied up here. I immediately started collecting my comic book, my original drawings from my comic book, put them in a stack. You know what I mean?
You
got my 12-year-old kid laying there. So what the fuck is he going to do if I die now? He's fucked.
And he's organized.
Right.
He's like, oh, shit, I'm about to die. Put everything together.
Better get
organized. That kid's organized. He actually asked my bartender the other day. He's standing in front of the fucking pizza oven. They got the cardboard on the bottom of the pizza. He looks at my bartender and he goes, listen, should I take the cardboard out before I put it in the oven? Or can I cook it with it on there? I'm like, this kid is fucked. He's fucked.
It's okay.
That's pretty funny.
You'll learn him.
Ronnie, this is why I got to call you every week on the show. I'm worried about you. One day you're going to kill yourself. The next day, possible heart attacks. You got guys getting kicked in the nads over at your place and enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I got to check in on you.
Well, you know what, man? If I could do it, listen, if I could do it again, I would get a place off of fucking Venice Beach. You know what I mean?
That's what
I do.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Sure.
Smoke all the dope anyone wants over in Venice.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thinks that, Venice Beach, that's going to be great. Can you imagine? Yeah, sure, the weekends are hot. Okay, what do you do Monday through the rest of the week, asshole? Okay, with those homeless cocksuckers coming trying to break into your apartment all the time over there. Fuck you.
So, Ryan, any events coming up that people need to know about at Cigars? I heard you had Hobo with the Shotgun last week, and you had Daryl Moon and Pat Bagden and Horacio Ramirez doing some commentary.
Yes, and there was a black fellow as well. What was his name?
He goes by Black Fellow. Don't worry.
Is he fucking good? Here's my point. That went over huge. It went over huge. I have to figure out a way to sit the comics there and light up their faces and give them each a mic. There has to be a way to structure it. Listen, if you guys have any input on this, my point was, it was an unruly crowd. Horatio came up and did a couple minutes of stand-ups. It was always, always good. Kind of reeled him in a little bit. But here was the bitch. The people actually wanted to watch the goddamn movie. So when the movie started, people were like, Hobo with a Shotgun, this is going to be great. And then Howard Rugger, Howard, whatever his fucking name is, he's in it. So then the comics started talking over it. And I have to tell you, we had the volume of the comics adjusted right, and then the movie, and people actually watched that movie and listened to them. They had a fucking riot. I'll tell you something, that went over huge, man. That went over fucking gangbusters.
Keep doing it. You're doing Mystery Science Theater
That's my secret dream job. I don't know.
Oh, so you're jealous.
Yeah, I am jealous.
Well, Horatio, the reason Horatio does well at cigars is they're so used to heckling.
Mexican?
Yeah, he's Mexican. That's one. It's in Berwyn. But then the second thing is he's a professional, and they're not expecting that. He goes up there and does a professional set,
yeah.
And they're like, well, what the fuck's this? It's like Ronnie paid someone to do this.
He's really good.
You know, yeah, he is sharp. You know, here was the thing. We had this black guy, Omar Sims, that was his name. We had a black fellow. We had a Mexican fellow. We had a drunk, really, I'm pissed off, Irish, kind of, I'm losing weight. Patrick Bagden, and then we had Gerald Moon, who's clever as fuck. I gotta tell you something, that lineup was not that bad. It was not that bad, and they all had a little something to say. I mean, they were fighting over the microphone like it was a giant, big, black dick, you know what I mean? But other than that, you know, they were, when they got their rhythm down, that was my point. Like, we can't get a rhythm on this phone conversation because of the fucking delay, and I'm hearing my voice again, so whatever. I've been hearing it for like 10 minutes, so like, I'm hearing what I'm saying right now. Forget it. I'm listening to myself. Frustrating as shit. I can't even deal with this.
Are you listening to the show, or are you just hearing it on the phone?
When I say, they're fighting over it like a penis, I hear that again. See, they're fighting over it like a penis. You know, I'm hearing it again. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like frustrating to be in my own mind. I can't even deal with this.
I'll tell you what. Promote what you got coming up, and I'll call you next week, and hopefully you won't hear yourself talk about penis twice in a row.
Well, right. I'm not answering the fucking phone anymore. This is it. All right, here's what we got going. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We got the big Daryl Moon show. That's the big one. Of course we got, I don't know. What is tonight? Answer me. Is tonight going to turn into, listen, Thanksgiving was so bad and so out of fucking control. Do the rooms get like that out there?
Sure, yeah, it gets bad at certain clubs. I've been to the Comedy Store when it's been empty. Empty.
No, this was bad. People came out to drink. I'm telling you, it was so bad. And I said, Jack, do what you got to do. I'm telling you something, man. You should have seen this. It was, he stood on the fucking bar and just started screaming at this guy, shut your fat fucking hole, you cocksucker. And the guy laid one more mark. He just took a goddamn, like an expensive beer, and just right in his fucking face.
Wow.
And then he says, I'm going to choke you with my cock, you motherfucker. And he runs at him on the stage, pulling his fucking cock out. And so all I'm thinking is this big, dumb hillbilly who brings my propane is going to grab that little white penis of his and his fucking neck and pile drive his jag-off ass right into the fucking door.
Oh, that would have been great.
It was amazing. You know, guess what happened? He got the fucking room back.
Oh, that's great.
He got the room back.
Would have been like, would have looked like starting an Evan Rude boat motor. You know, just rev.
Well, Ryan, I'm gonna call you next week. So yeah. You're gonna have to answer. So I gotta call private or call through other numbers. It's just
so don't annoying. End it all for another week.
Yes.
Well, are you guys going to really broadcast this or no? Or are you guys just recording this and you're going to just do something with this later? What are you guys doing?
We're live. We've been live.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who listens?
We interviewed actor Louis Lombardi today from Sopranos and Entourage and 24. He was great.
You know who called me the other day? I should have him call you. What's his name? The gay guy. The gay guy, Johnny Cakes.
I'm in L.A. They're all gay. Oh, Johnny Cakes.
Oh,
Johnny
whatever. Cakes. They're actors from The Sopranos. Whatever. I should have him call you. He's got a book out. What the fuck is his name? He calls me all the time. What's his fucking name? Whatever.
I call you all the time. You don't know his fucking name.
Yeah, right. Oh, hey, John.
He was supposed to.
You probably call him John.
Well, he's got the Cujin cigars out. He's got a cookbook out. He was the gay guy, the one guy that went out in the woods and killed the guy. Here's my point. My point of this is that he was supposed to do stand-up here. I'm fucking pissed off at him. He was supposed to do stand-up here. He was like, I don't really have any stand-up. I'm like, are you kidding? You're in The Sopranos. Just get over here. He was okay. He was going to have a cigar tasting. And then he called. He said, look, I can't make it. I can't physically get there. I'm stuck like in some asshole suburb. Whatever. I was, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
That's why I'm not saying his name.
Well, Ronnie, I'll call you next week. What do you got going on there tonight? Anything?
Yeah, goddamn Griffin again.
Oh, Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
You got anything else? No,
yeah, he's bringing. Listen, tonight I got $5 comics, $5. I got $5 Union Jacks, $5 smoked pork, and $5 fucking wings. $5. I call it fucking. It's $5. That's the name of the promo. I mean, it's five fucking dollars.
Yeah, that's on the marquee
whatever.
Too.
I like that promo. Fuck it. It's $5.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen. Hey, if there's something I could do, for you guys out there, let me know. Get the fuck out of here, man. There's
thanks,
nothing going
Ron.
On.
Bring your smoke.
I'll see you guys.
Some wings.
Yeah.
I miss your wings.
One piece at a time.
Hey, no problem. I will, I'll talk to you guys. Listen, you guys are going to do good out there. Thank you for calling. It was a lot of fun.
Hey,
thanks,
you, Ronnie. We'll call you later.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the warning. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, the always fun Ron Lotz. That is Ron Lotz of Cigars and Stripes in Berwyn on Ogden Avenue. Very fun place. Check it out. Live comedy, smoked food, stuff to see, craft beers.
No shame.
No shame, yeah. He's
no
like a,
shame.
He's like a David Mamet character.
Yeah, if you have
he
shame.
Swears as much.
If you have shame, you don't go there.
No, yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. I thought today was a productive show.
Yeah, I thought we were productive. Yeah, we got a lot done.
We didn't get to any news, even.
No, it's okay. We had fun, didn't
well,
we?
No, look, I can listen to Ronnie talk about cock and balls for 30 minutes.
Right.
I really could.
God.
And I think I've met someone who cusses more than I do.
Yeah, I think he does. I really think he does. But he's the thing is though.
You think
he's
angry?
It's
but
a part
not.
Of his character. He's not doing it just to do it. That's how he talks.
Yeah, yeah. No.
All right.
Even when he's having the nice conversation with you.
If you can't take, yeah, I know. If you can't take his low down, gritty Bukowski sort of, you know.
Well, he'll never admit to this, but he is, and he's gonna kill me if he hears this. But he is like the nicest,
the
guy.
Sweetest man.
He
yeah.
really is.
Yeah.
He really is.
In his quietest voice, when I told him I was moving, he's like, Lee, I really got to say, you fucking deserve it, man. Then there you go. He cannot not do it.
I'm looking at the hotel that this party I'm going to next Saturday is at that, that Nick and I are going to, and I think you may be going.
Yeah.
And, pretty swanky.
Pretty plush?
Yeah.
The plush pigeon inn?
Yeah, like to the point where this place kind of scares me a bit.
Okay.
Hotel Angelino in Los Angeles. It's in Beverly Hills. And it's 200 degrees of floor to ceiling. Yeah, and you get quite the view. I guess you can see the whole city.
Mm.
So it's going to be a little swanky.
Wow.
A little swank.
Do I have to wear a tie?
Don't go crazy on ties if you can get a sweater vest. Do you have like a...
yeah, I got a sweater vest.
Do you have like a sweater with Rudolph and one of those like light-up noses?
No.
Well then,
I don't have any Christmas wear.
No Christmas wear?
No.
Looks like we're going to the Banana Republic.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up... We went to Dina Martin's concert this week.
Yes, you did.
And Dina was fantastic. Her new album, White Christmas, you must pick up. Had a great time. And we hung out with her a little bit after the show. And you could not ask for a cooler broad to hang out with on the planet.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Coolest broad ever. Like, no joke.
Yeah.
She's timeless. I love her. Love her. She's great. And I'm trying to think if there's anything
shout out
else
to her.
Going on. Anything else going on? We got 5 minutes to play a song and let's go, but I want to make sure we got all our plugs in.
I think we did.
Lee,
we had a lot of buzz.
Lee's going to be doing open mic, so I don't know if he's going to plug it in.
I'll let you know when I got a showcase. LewisLombardi.com, Cigars and Stripes in Berwyn.
Hold on. I think Caesar.
White Christmas by Dina Martin.
Caesar just wanted to say the show was worth every penny. I also want to thank Midway Car Rental. Helping us out this week and getting us a quality car. Caesar got a fantastic Jeep Cherokee from them, which was...
show's worth every penny.
I'm guessing.
Is that a joke?
Caesar said he may go buy the car now.
Oh.
He may go buy the car.
Hmm.
So, yeah, great experience with Midway. They were great to them. Great customer service, so you want to check that out. Ronnie Lott was on the show today, Cigars and Stripes. Lee, you do the plug better than anyone for cigars.
Yeah.
Go ahead, give it one more time.
That's Cigars and Stripes, Berwyn, Ogden Avenue. I forget the exact address. You can see it at cigarsandstripes.com.
Yeah.
Wednesdays and Saturdays, comedy show, smoked wings, stuff to look at, fun people.
Yeah, fun. Let me tell you this. If you go to Cigars and Stripes, you leave with a story.
Yeah.
A great story that you won't get from going anywhere else that night.
Not one you want to tell immediately your mom.
Right. You think about there should be a show at Coney Dog next Monday, says Pat Tobias. I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know when our next show is yet because we just set this thing up with Coney Dog and we're working on our first guest for it and everything.
We're flying by the pants. Well,
www.thematthewaronshow.com. We'll keep you updated on that. Caesar, Facebook, Twitter, at Matt Aaron Show. Okay. And
I'm satisfied.
Oh, LewisLombardi.com.
Right.
And his acting classes, which you're going to want to take. The guy is passionate. He was great on The Sopranos. He was great on 24. We found out Edgar Stiles is huge in Japan.
That was
Lee's big find.
This is the best recap, most comprehensive recap we've ever done on the show.
Well, and he was great on Entourage, so we really wanted to thank Lewis for doing the show and for inviting me out for a slice of pie.
Oh, God.
And Lee, I wish you the best of luck on your cleanse.
Thank you.
And I hope by the time we have the next show, you have a reward story from the cleanse.
Yeah.
You are my Oprah, Lee.
Yeah.
You are my Oprah.
That's crazy.
So I am now going to leave you now. We will see you soon.
Sorry, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, sorry to Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Yes, you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft, everything for me but to love you and the way you look tonight.